Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word. One chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Day 264 brings us back to the book of 1 Corinthians for 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. We thank you for another opportunity to dig into your word. We thank you for your faithfulness, which is unending and is our hope and our strength day by day. Speak to us through your word. Write it on our hearts. Show us more of Christ and help us to grow in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet, among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So the Corinthians live in a very cosmopolitan, sophisticated city, a city of trade, on a major trade route. Corinth sits at the narrow isthmus between northern Greece and southern Greece. And if you're going to go east to west from one side of Greece to the other, you could sail all the way around the bottom of Greece and deal with a bunch of islands, or you can simply have your ship passed over the isthmus of Corinth. And it takes a couple of days. You have to stay in port, so there's a lot of sailors who come. It was also a very sexually immoral city, but it was also a city that prided itself on being close to Athens and being Greek and being educated and being sophisticated. So it's kind of a mixture of people who were trying to impress everyone with their eloquent wisdom, and then at nighttime, a bunch of temple cult prostitutes who would be roaming the streets. So what does Paul do going into that kind of world? He had just come from Corinth, from Athens, right before he came to Corinth. And in Athens, he went to the Areopagus, and in Acts 17, he had a very eloquent defense of the existence of God and of Christ, quoting from Greek poets, articulating wisdom very persuasively. But, you know, there's no church on record as having been started by the Apostle Paul in Athens. There were a few converts. He's determined he's going to stay in Corinth and he's going to give them the gospel straight. He doesn't want to have them be impressed with his eloquent wisdom. He doesn't want them to try to have confidence in the sophistication of his speech, even though Paul was very well educated and he actually was well trained in classical rhetoric. And interestingly enough, 1st and 2nd Corinthians as letters show many of the marks of classical rhetoric. But when Paul was there sharing the gospel, planning the church, doing that groundbreaking work, he determined that he was not going to do anything but proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified, and to do so in weakness and in fear and in much trembling and without plausible words of wisdom, because he wanted the Spirit to demonstrate that salvation belongs to the Lord, and that it is the Spirit who, through the power of God demonstrated in the foolishness of the cross, would save those who believe. Now, this is not the way you gain an impressive following. It's not a way to gain celebrity status, but it is a way to be faithful to the Word of God, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to trust in the power of God. Now, just because that's all that Paul spoke about when he was there at Corinth doesn't mean that that's the only thing that Paul knows or understands. It's not like everywhere Paul goes, he only talks about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Although that's most centrally important, he says there is a kind of wisdom. There's a wisdom that's contained in the cross. He mentioned this in chapter 1. He said, those of us who are being saved, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He said that in chapter 1, verse 24. But it's foolish in the eyes of the world. But there's a wisdom. There's a wisdom in the cross that shows that God's ways are not like our ways, that God's way of saving his people is not like you would get from a pagan god with thunder and lightning and hail, or with, you know, outward signs of the strength of the god, but rather Christ humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross, as we saw when we were in Philippians 2. This is wisdom, because only by being our atoning sacrifice, only by substituting himself for us on the cross, could Jesus remove sin and guilt from us, appease the wrath of God against us, justify us before the eyes of a holy God, and give us an eternal inheritance in himself. So what God has planned for us through the cross makes no sense in the eyes of the world, but is of surpassing wisdom and surpassing power, because it removes all of our sin. It sets us free from bondage to death and the fear of death and the tyranny of the devil. It justifies us before a holy God. It makes God not our wrathful judge, but our loving heavenly Father. And that is a wisdom that the rulers of this age don't understand. And Paul says, if they understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why does he say that? When he's talking about the rulers of this age, he's talking largely about the demonic forces of wickedness that rule over this fallen world. They wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Satan wouldn't have put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus and have him crucified if he'd have known, because that was actually Satan's defeat. So you see, God's wisdom was greater than the devil, not in being a worldly way, but in being God's plan for our salvation. And if Satan had realized it, he wouldn't have put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Pontius Pilate wouldn't have conspired together with the Jewish leaders to have this man crucified if they knew that that was the way that he was going to be proclaimed Lord of all and conquer over sin and death forever. But instead of the wisdom of the world, through the cross, God has planned something greater for us, something that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. A God who would become man and who would die for the sins of his people to release them from sin and death and bring them an eternal inheritance. That is nonsense in the realm of the world. But it is the truth of God. It's the power of God for salvation. And these things are revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of the truth of these things, so that we can understand them. And the natural person, Paul says, can't understand these things because they don't have the Spirit of God. And these things are only understood by the Holy Spirit. You talk to a person who doesn't have the Spirit of God as a natural person, you say, you know, there was this Jewish rabbi named Yeshua, and he died on a Roman cross in humiliation, and that's my hope of salvation. It sounds nonsensical. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like something worse than a made-up story. Because how could it be that a Jewish rabbi from 2,000 years ago dying in humiliation on a Roman cross could be your salvation? How does that help you? Well, it takes away my sin. Wait, him dying 2,000 years ago takes away your sin today? How does that work? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, but it makes all the sense in the world to us. It makes all the sense in the world to those of us who have received the Spirit of God and who have been taught by the Spirit, because we're told that, yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is alive. He's Lord of all. He has settled the debt against us by his blood shed on the cross. And we have the truth from God revealed by the Spirit found in the cross. And in fact, we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also yours in Christ Jesus. Remember Philippians 2? And then Paul goes to the cross. We understand that the pathway for us in life is the same. It's humble obedience to God. It's accepting rejection from the world. It's following in the footsteps of our Savior. And it's glorifying him for the gift that he's given us, the gift of salvation, even through the foolishness of Jesus Christ and him crucified, who is the wisdom and power of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, and thank you for your power, and thank you for your salvation. We have a living hope in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have delivered us from sin and death. We thank you, we praise you, we rejoice in you for your goodness to us each day and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Tomorrow we are going to jump back to Deuteronomy and pick up with Deuteronomy 17. Hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.